Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Happy Friday. Today we're going to be taking a quick look ahead at next week as it should be an exciting and busy week. Lighter news day today, but we do have some news on an upcoming software release from Tesla, Elon Musk appearing on Jay Leno's Garage, some things from SpaceX, and a couple other items as well. We'll jump right into the stock. Tesla today kind of feels like an instant replay of yesterday, down 4.6% to close at $275.33, while the NASDAQ also faring poorly, down 1.8% on the day. Getting pretty close to the lows from June when the index was about 10,600. So when the NASDAQ was at that level back in June, Tesla was actually at $217 per share at that time. So even though it has actually felt like kind of a rougher week or so here for Tesla, it's actually faring really well since the NASDAQ, you know, flat from that period back in June, Tesla actually up 27% since that time. So we are seeing a lot of outperformance even with this underperformance so far this week. Continued strength in Tesla. I think just the fundamentals are going to overwhelm the macroeconomic forces. It's just going to take time and those things are going to have to be worked through, but we're still seeing relative strength from Tesla. Speaking of the macro economy, though, we will have some important news coming up next week. If you didn't get enough Fed stuff this week, we will have Jerome Powell speaking again on Tuesday morning. I would imagine pretty similar comments from what we had heard earlier this week. Still an item to watch out for, though. We'll have some home sales reports that'll be important in midweek, and then wrapping up the week with the Personal Consumption Expenditure Index released for August on Friday. Also on Friday, we will get AI Day finally, so that'll be exciting. Tesla sending out some invites. I have not received one yet, but fingers crossed. Anyway, Tesla sending out some invites for that event, saying that you'll have an opportunity to learn about Tesla's latest developments in artificial intelligence, including full self-driving Tesla Bot, Dojo, and more. So 1 week out, very exciting on that. Before that, we will have Elon Musk speaking on the Twitter case. He is scheduled to be deposed on Monday and Tuesday, may extend to Wednesday if necessary, so the 26th through possibly the 28th early in the week next week. So a lot going on next week. We will have that, you know, AI day to look forward to, which I think will hopefully cap it off. And then on the weekend, that's the end of Q3. Q4 starts on Saturday, and on Sunday we should get the Q3 delivery and production numbers. So sometime next week we'll go through expectations for that. All right, today then we do have an update here from Not a Tesla app. They have learned that Tesla for version number 22.36 will be releasing an update to the Tesla energy maps or the Tesla energy chart and consumption display that we see on the vehicles. I think the Model S and X haven't actually gotten this yet, so probably Tesla's just been waiting for this new version to be complete before pushing that. Hopefully this will go to those vehicles as well. But you can see here a little bit more detailed view on the chart that we're familiar with. Shows a little bit more precise of a calculation for estimated range remaining. Shows the consumption and the consumption breakdown. So it shows basically versus expectation, which of these factors, including driving, climate, battery conditioning, elevation, and then a group of everything else, is affecting that range versus what Tesla had predicted. So a lot more details here. It also gives you some tips on how to optimize your range. We can see a good example of that from Anders, who shared a screenshot of something that he is seeing on his display. So for his example trip here, he consumed 5.4% of the battery's energy, 1% more than estimated, so must have been going pretty fast there. You can see that the driving was 4.8% of the energy that was consumed, which was 0.9% above what Tesla had calculated or expected or displayed before that trip. Climate burned 2% of the energy, 0.2% of the energy, a little bit less than expected. Nothing for battery conditioning, a little bit for elevation, which was more than expected, and everything else right on expectation. So this should help us understand a little bit more how the prediction is coming in and maybe adjust some of those things based on what we're seeing. I think interestingly, climate will be something to, you know, be valuable to have a little bit more insight into, because obviously that's going to be one of the larger factors influencing things that people have control over, right? Like, you're not going to have a lot of control over elevation. It's interesting to know about, but not something that you can really adjust during the course of your trip. Climate would be one of those options though. So exciting to have a little bit more detail and specificity on this energy feature. And you can see the graph a little bit updated too when you're ahead of expectation in terms of your consumption and when you're below it as well. So exciting to see that. And then also alongside this update, Tesla will be sharing a little bit more information on supercharger occupancy distribution. So basically, how occupied is a supercharger on average at any given hour of the day? We can see, I would imagine, that most Superchargers will probably follow a somewhat similar bell curve to that, but will be nice to have some insight in case, you know, you're trying to plan your trip around when superchargers may be available, especially for some of those more busy locations. So good to have that feature as well. All right, next up here, we've got an update from Troy Tesla. He is saying that he's learned that buyers in Australia and Japan, which would be supplied from Giga Shanghai, have started to receive vehicle identification numbers as of earlier this week. Normally, we would expect that to happen a little bit later, as Tesla should be producing vehicles for local production. So if buyers are getting VINs internationally, it suggests that maybe Tesla is shifting to exports a little bit earlier in the quarter, and maybe potentially not then maximizing the deliveries in Q3. So we talked a lot about the China situation yesterday. This is yet another indicator that maybe Tesla's not having as big of a backlog there to completely deliver all of that production locally, which when we talk about Q3 then, we might see production slightly outpace deliveries if some of these vehicles are sitting on boats going over to Australia, Japan, wherever else. So it's something to keep in mind there. We did have a little bit of overproduction in Q2. It was about 4,000 vehicles, so Tesla brings in a little bit of inventory. If they're sending a ship or two, I would expect deliveries to slightly fall behind production, but hopefully we'll get a little bit more insight on that next week if this does continue. Still, in combination with the lower order backlog, definitely something to keep an eye on. However, hopefully that just boosts Q4. Ultimately, not really all that big of a deal aside from just watching the Chinese situation in general, like we had talked about yesterday. All right, next we've got Elon appearing on Jay Leno's Garage. So this full episode, I think, was published on Wednesday night, came out on YouTube yesterday. I did watch all of this. Mostly the focus is SpaceX as they're taking a tour of Starbase. Not a whole lot of Tesla overlap there. Really the only comments that were applicable to Tesla, I would say, were some things that Elon had said on patents, basically just, you know, saying that patents are for the weak. I think that that clip had come out on Twitter last week, so that's been out there. I think we know Elon's feelings on that. And then he did also note that just some of the collaboration between SpaceX and Tesla is helpful at times, specifically SpaceX bringing advanced materials, making things light into the automotive space. You can leverage that from the Tesla perspective. And then from the SpaceX side, leveraging Tesla's experience with manufacturing, especially more high volume type of things, which SpaceX hopes to get to, certainly with, you know, Raptor engines and Starship in general. So interesting thing, but a lot more focus on SpaceX. Definitely check that out if you are interested in, you know, I would say a good primer. It's probably a good one to send over to people that maybe don't know a whole lot about what SpaceX is doing at Starbase. All right. A couple of other SpaceX things here quick. So if you have been following what's been happening in Iran, there has been some talk about opening up Starlink access there as communications have been taken down in many cases. So the U.S. government has approved some, you know, special circumstances here that is going to allow SpaceX to provide connectivity with Starlink. So Elon here saying that they're activating that. Really good to see. We have already seen how impactful this has been in Ukraine. Now we're getting an opportunity to see, you know, the unfortunate opportunities, but this is very impactful technology that SpaceX is providing, really providing a lot of benefit in these unfortunate circumstances for these countries. So really great to see that. And then something here that's, you know, on the consumer side, SpaceX has been testing the Starlink capacity in flight. So they've been testing that with JSX. They've achieved 100 megabits per second in the air. Elon here saying that with some improvements, they'll actually be able to achieve 300 megabits per second. So very exciting on that front. And, you know, I can't wait to be on my first flight that has that Starlink connectivity. I'm sure many of you are in that same boat. A few other Tesla things just to kind of wrap up here. So earlier this week, we had news that Hertz and GM have agreed to a order of up to 175,000 electric vehicles from GM. Provided GM can produce that and supply that for Hertz. But we know how the markets have reacted to Tesla's news. That was 100,000 vehicles for Tesla, here 175,000 for GM, though over a much longer time horizon, of course, as GM, I would imagine, have a little bit of difficulty supplying this. But, you know, that's a five-year process there, so 35,000 vehicles or so per year on that order. And then lastly here, we've got an update from Toyota on their production plans. We've seen many of these this year, but Toyota again announcing an update to their production plan for October. Previously, they had said that September through November would be approximately 900,000 units per month. However, now they're saying due to semiconductor shortages, the planned global production output volume for October is expected to be approximately 800,000 units, then continuing October through December, 850,000 per month, again down a little bit from that 900,000 ballpark that they had estimated before. So Toyota still having some issues with semiconductors. It seems like Tesla has, for the most part, gotten through that stuff. We'll hear more about that, I'm sure, on the Q3 call, but you know, still hearing these similar excuses from Toyota. All right, I think that is it for today. As I said, pretty quick news day, but as always, thank you for listening. You can find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications, and we'll see you next week for the Monday, September 26th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.